If you could choose the inscription on your gravestone, I wonder what you would choose. And I wonder if people reading it would agree with how you see yourself. It's natural that we would hope that other people would think well of us, perhaps overlooking our faults and remembering kindly the better attributes we've tried to show. Well, one such person would have no trouble in finding an epitaph, because in our Bible reading, Barnabas is mentioned. We don't know too much about him. He comes onto the scene in Acts chapter 4, selling some land to help his fellow Christians in Jerusalem. The Christians there were a mixture of people from the city and others who had arrived from neighbouring nations who had decided to remain there after the miraculous day of Pentecost in AD 31. And some were experiencing desperate financial need. Barnabas was a Levite from Cyprus and was related to Mark, the writer of one of the Gospels. His name was actually Joseph, or Joseph, but the disciples nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So that sorted out the inscription for his tombstone. What a wonderful reputation to have, son of encouragement. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, it's recorded that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He delighted in hearing of others being encouraged in the faith, and he himself seemed to excel at encouraging. We have a little more information about Barnabas in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 30, where it tells us that when Paul tried to join the church, the disciples, knowing of his persecution of the members of the church, were very hesitant to contemplate welcoming such a man into their fellowship. But who was the first person to support his request? Barnabas. It's not an unreasonable assumption that had Paul attempted to join the church in Jerusalem and Antioch without the encouragement of Barnabas, it's unlikely that Paul would have been admitted. Acts chapter 11, verse 22, we're told it was Barnabas who was sent from the church in Jerusalem to Antioch, saying that he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. While there was some reluctance to accept Gentiles, this was not so for Barnabas. He lived up to his nickname and encouraged and welcomed them into the church. He was also a good mentor for Paul, and certainly had the essential blessing of the Holy Spirit. And one gets the impression from the Bible references that along with his anointing, he had a delightful humbleness in his apostleship. Barnabas was influential in the early developments in the New Testament church. I'm sure many people came to know the Lord through his preaching, but equally others would come to want to know Jesus through Barnabas's example and his encouragement. Although we don't know what eventually happened to him, one thing we can be sure about is that if anyone who knew him paused to read on his tombstone, Barnabas, son of encouragement, they would nod their head and say, "Yep, that sums him up perfectly." Now, as we are all aware, there is an expectation on every Christian to encourage each other in the faith. It's actually not merely a suggestion. Encouragement is seen to be so essential, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit to be received and used for the benefit of the church. Again, in John 13, verse 34 to 35, we read, and these are the words of Jesus, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Loving one another isn't loving without encouraging each other. The gift of encouragement or exhortation is found in Paul's list of gifts in Romans 12. The word translated encouragement or exhortation is the Greek word paraklesis, related to the word paraclete, and paraklesis basically means a call to one side. Paraklesis carries the idea of bringing someone closely alongside in order to encourage them, to give joy and comfort them. But as we would all admit, it's all too easy to choose who we should encourage. Like the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where we are told the expectation on us is to make disciples. We can abdicate those responsibilities to the minister or to those extrovert Christians who find it easier than perhaps we do. But just as God expects us to respond to his guidance to use our unique personalities to lead people to him, so he expects us to encourage each other as we live for him. We can be so busily involved in church life with the various activities that we can assume all our fellow Christians are always serving the Lord with gladness and they are untouched by problems of any kind. In reality, we know that's unlikely. Yet so often we are hesitant to offer that much needed encouragement because we feel it's not something that comes naturally to us. Would it be too extreme to say that if we believe we are expected to follow the example of Jesus, yet leave some of his examples to others to carry out? That would simply reduce our church to a place where we go to worship a God in whom we profess to believe, but feel we can choose which of his leadings we prefer to observe. Of course, there are Barnabases who have and use the gift of encouragement in abundance, and how blessed we are because of them. I'm sure most of us will have felt the benefit of words or acts of encouragement. It's been my experience to observe what encouragement from what might seem unlikely sources can do. People have been encouraged to get through difficult times and have stayed in a church to become themselves helpful examples and encouragers to others. Perhaps the most surprising aspect of encouragement is the mixture of what it can prevent and, on the other hand, what it can produce. The story is told of a man who stood in his local marketplace giving out Christian tracts outlining how people can be saved. He stood there faithfully for a long while, but one day, not having seen any response or interest, he gave up that ministry. Many years later, he was searched for by a man who had received one of the Christian tracts. He had emigrated to the United States of America, where he had followed the instructions on the tract and had become a minister of a church, where he had led many to receive the Lord Jesus. The man who had given up his marketplace ministry was distraught, broken-hearted, at the thought of how many opportunities in all the years he had lost because he became disheartened in his ministry. What a difference a single word of encouragement could have made. All of us at times need to be encouraged. Some of those times are obvious, others not so. I do not know of any Christian who leads a life without challenges, some of them severe. I think of a friend of mine who went as a missionary and whose wife was raped by the very people to whom they went to serve and share the love of God. And of a young Christian doctor who went to a country where disease was rife and he caught the very disease he went to treat. He died and left a wife and young children. Of course, one would like to think they are extreme situations, but all Christians will have experience or will experience their own challenges. Some of our fellow Christians will be reluctant to burden anyone, but they need our loving encouragement, and encouraging each other is vital for the well-being of God's church. It not only helps to create a genuinely lovely atmosphere in which to worship together, it is sensed by newcomers to the church. My message today, therefore, is for each of us to pledge ourselves to become an active encourager. Let us not let a week go by without we seek an opportunity to encourage a fellow Christian in the way God leads us. In most churches, recognition is often readily, and rightly so, given to those who minister in various visible ways. Some are involved in the church's caring groups and freely give their time. Their service is noticeable and hopefully appreciated. But if I may, just a word about those extraordinary people whose gift of encouragement is exceptional. I think of a friend who, in retirement, has made over 2,000 cross-stitch bookmarks with a Christian message on each of them, and she continues to do so. There are such quiet people who are often unnoticed in the congregation, yet who have an unerring ability to discern those who are in need of a word of encouragement, and give it so beautifully in a Christ-like way. They know just when an arm around the shoulders is appropriate. Who make a phone call for no other reason than they're prompted by the Lord to do so. Who invite someone out for a coffee because they feel someone needs the comfort of a chat. And such people are wonderful assets to a church, but they are seldom, if ever, recognized. They have hearts burning with a desire to serve the Lord by loving their fellow Christians, and not only seeking to encourage them, but their ministry of encouragement extends to those who, like my friend's ministry through her bookmarks, reach far beyond the church. If I may, I would like to share with you that Veil Ministries is launching a way of recognizing those exceptional encouragers. We are establishing the Order of Christian Encouragers. The order has been established to recognize the ministry of those who continually encourage others in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's available to Christians of all denominations. A person may be nominated by a fellow church member and seconded by another church member, and the person nominated is then asked if they're willing to accept admission to the order. On agreement, a short presentation ceremony is conducted, which can be at the person's church or held privately, where a certificate and a lapel badge is presented and their name is entered on the roll of the order. The ceremony may be performed by the minister or, if invited, by a representative of the order. And here I show the emblem badge of the Order of Christian Encouragers. If you know of anyone in your church who is an exceptional encourager and you would like them to be recognized by being awarded with admission to the order, do please feel free to contact me for details how the order can be presented. Of course, such people may prefer not to be so recognized, and it's only with their agreement that the order is bestowed upon them. So may I ask, this coming week, all of us will set our hearts on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. And as you do so, may God's richest blessing be upon you.